Sorry, April.
Just wanted to see how fast she could move there, so. Call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation Regular Meeting Board of School Trustees. Today is Monday, October the 7th. It is about 6:31 and a half. And I'll ask for a motion to approve the agenda of tonight's meeting. Moved by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion carries. Approval of the minutes of the September 9th, 2019 regular board meeting. I need a motion, please. By Dr. Sprayer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, any corrections, everything good that hasn't been made. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion carries. Communication from the audience. Current agenda items, I didn't have anybody that signed up. I'll move on to, I have one that signed up for non-agenda items, Randy. Unfinished business, I have none. We'll start with new business and start with the adoption of education operation budgets by Mr. Sloan.
Okay, it's, we've done the advertisement as required, all the notifications and all of our budgets, so now we need to ask the board to consider approval of the budget. So we have education fund budgets, $19,725,000, referendum fund at $5 million, debt fund at $6,575,507, operations fund at $8,186,000, and the rainy day fund at $1,170,000 for a total of $40,656,507. So the one, what we should do, Alan, and I got a couple other resolutions. So we have this resolution that says ordinance or resolution for appropriations and tax rates. So I'd ask the board to consider adoption of that resolution. So that resolution adopts the budgets, shows the advertised levy was $18,124,781 and the tax rate at $2.18. Now we all know this is advertised high. We expect the tax rate to be closer to $1.27, which is what it is today, once we get all the numbers in and DLGF works our budget. So with that motion, Alan, on that resolution, that would give approval for the budgets.
Okay, this has been an ongoing process, obviously,
right,
since the end of our turtle of budget hearings or meetings going back to August 20th or so of August. Need a motion then, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, questions at this point.
Thank you, as always, Rose, for your incredible explanation of this.
Well, I hope.
Yeah.
You make it make sense to me. You make it make sense to anybody.
Other comments or questions at this point? This is the tail end of this process. So, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, April, that motion does carry, so we'll adopt the budget as stated. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the next be our bus replacement plan resolution that I reviewed, and we've advertised a bus replacement plan. It's a five-year plan. Actually, the critical part is what we would buy in 2020. We had listed two buses for $180,000. So there's a resolution that says resolution to adopt the bus replacement plan for budget year 2020.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Bittner, second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, please. And again, that's in our packet as well. We've been going through this since the third week of August. Discussion or any other questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, April, that motion does carry. Okay, Ross, still?
Then we have a third resolution that says resolution for transfers, and basically what this allows is as we get to the end of the year and even in the next year, we may need to transfer some money between funds. You know, if you want to move money to the rainy day fund or move money to the debt fund, this resolution would allow us to do that and satisfies the DLGF and State Board of Accounts, so I'd recommend approval of that transfer resolution.
Okay, need a motion, please.
Move.
Moved by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion. Also an item that's voted on every year, and et cetera. Any other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry.
Okay, one additional resolution, that's a budget resolution to reduce line 1 and 2 and line 8, which in budget terms, line 1 and 2, line 1's your 2020 budget. Line 2 is remaining expenditures in 2019 from July to December. And then your line 8 actually is revenue line. So once we get more detail in, because we're doing this budget, you know, back in the summer for 2020, when they work our budget, we may see that we have to make some adjustments between funds or reduce some things. And this, rather than coming back, you know, because usually they give you about 10 days to get this done once they work the budget. Right. So if you give permission to Rocky and I to make these adjustments in the budget, that's, I mean, we'll tell you what we do, but so we just gives us authority to make those, to make the budgets work.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Brocknow. Discussion. And again, you always, and those will notice given to the board well in advance of
right.
those things. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Is that it?
That's
it for the roads. Thank you, Ross. Thank you for all your work on that. I know
it started on next year's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right, academic achievement, the Aquatic Center facility improvement updates in BK PAC plans. Dr. Killian.
Just some quick updates. First, with the high school, the cafe is coming along. The kitchen is a little bit delayed, and so we were hoping to have it open by fall break, but that's no longer going to happen. And Courtney needs time to train her staff on everything. So after much discussion with her, we're going to wait to open the actual kitchen until after Christmas, New Year's break. So second semester, we will open the kitchen. However, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, cafe will still be usable. Is that the plan?
Yeah.
So wanted to let you know that Courtney needs about 4 days of training with the staff on all the new equipment. I'd rather try to rush it after fall break. Fall break is a perfect time because we had those days off. Rather than try to rush it, she felt like we're going to do this well and make sure everyone was really trained well on all of the equipment, that we should wait until that 2 week break. And then that's when the training would occur. And then when students return, staff return in January, that kitchen will be operational. So wanted to make you aware of that. Happy to introduce to you Chris Clean. Chris, she's our aquatics director. Is she here? Okay, come on up.
Come on up.
Chris, as you know, we brought her on board to help us take care of the aquatic center and to develop a programs for use of our aquatic center and try to model it after Zionsville. Zionsville has, over the last 10 years, been able to have a self-sustaining aquatic center where they pay for two directors, and every year about $100,000 comes back into the school district after all expenses. So that's the direction we're trying to aim with this, and Chris has come on to take this all on. So I've asked her to share with you some of the plans and give you some information. The one thing that we still have some work to do is logistics. How do we get kids to and from elementary, intermediate school for these classes? So that'll be something that we'll be working on down the road. But I think you'll be very pleased to hear what she has come up with, and wanted to present that information to you. Chris.
Okay.
No pressure.
Yeah. None at all. Ron had to like talk me down today.
Oh yeah. They hardly ever yell.
Yeah.
I think you guys got all of the attachments. You know, most of them are pretty self-explanatory. You know, swimming lessons, I packaged them in 5 and 10. If the people went for 10, I gave them a 10% discount just to keep things a little bit simpler. Swimming lessons for adults were based the same way through. I always preface it with this. I mean, I think my favorite two programs are Swimming Through Elementary and Swimming Through Junior High. What Swimming Through Elementary is, they get done with school. Part of the logistics that we're working on is they would get on a bus. They would be driven to the high school. They come in, they change, we take over there. They get a half an hour swimming lesson. They get to play for a half an hour. They get out, they get a snack, they get dressed, and parents just pick them up. And I think, I mean, we all kind of know busy schedules, parents working. Like, when my children were younger, it would have been like a dream program for me. Yeah. I would have been the first person to sign up. And then Swimming Through Junior High is the same. It's a lot simpler because the junior high children are already there. We're working on Swimming Through Intermediate. Again, trying to figure out the safest way to get them from the intermediate school to the high school. Whether that, I mean, right now that's not on a bus route. Can we walk? We also have some things that we'd have to flip-flop the program because high school students will tentatively be my instructors and they're not done with school yet when the children will be getting there. So I really want to get that one going too, but like I said, that's just a little more figuring out buses and getting them there. Birthday parties that, you know, we can make sure we have guards there, just limited those times on that. Scout tests, and then still in the process of some of the things that we're working on that I have listed there, perhaps a triathlon club for kids and maybe general admission stuff for over breaks and vacations and things like that.
What's that?
I have a few questions.
Okay.
Let's tell them about your celebrity dive idea.
I would like to do, when we do the ribbon cutting, a celebrity cannonball contest. And I think
Rachel's
Rocky has already
Is there going to be a motion here at the end of this?
Yes.
Well, okay. Yeah. If you want to ask questions,
I just have a couple questions.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm curious about what this looks like in the summer versus the school year, because I think Parks and Rec is kind of a longstanding tradition of lessons in the community, and I mm-hmm. think that's an important relationship to understand. I have a question about security. In terms of background checks and other things on the school during the day or around the day. I have a question about special programming on days off, if you're going to be adjusting it all for fall breaks and spring breaks and President's Day and whatever those are. And I think I had another one. I have no idea what it is at this moment, but those are my beginning three. What have you got?
I only have one, and that's okay. On page 13, and we discussed the rates.
Okay.
And it was the national average, the Indiana State average, and the old West Lafayette High School rate. But there wasn't the new rate. Were we still deciding on that? Was it?
I didn't know if that was just completely up to me to decide.
Okay.
I can tell you I did a lot of research on it. I think our old rate of $9 per hour with the cleaning and that stuff on it was pretty high for the years that our pool had on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you there's a whole spectrum out there, from anywhere teams paying $70,000 a year to $10,000 a year. I think $9 now for our area is probably about right. People might be paying a little more in like more urban areas like Indy and Zionsville. The national average for USA Swimming is $15 an hour, but you know, that's just astronomical rates in California and, you know, free pool rent in other places. So my suggestion would be $9 an hour.
Okay.
And to answer some of Rachel's questions, one, criminal history background checks always are part of this. So whoever is working in our pool, if the organization that's sponsoring it has those criminal history background checks, we accept those. And if people that we're bringing in are going to be working with the kids, criminal history background checks, there's no exception to that. With regards to working with the city, it is our plan to have Chris work to make sure that there are no overlaps, that if they're doing something special and there's a population maybe we can reach, vice versa, we will work with them in the summer. With regards to the schedule throughout the school year, I leave that to Chris, because one of the things that Ron keeps saying to Chris, you can't be here 24/7. So There will be times that this thing has to be shut down, she has to walk away, there has to be some downtime. So we're trying to help her in that. She's very passionate about being here, making sure the pool is utilized as much as it can, but we also don't want her to get burned out.
What are the hours, you think, during school year operation for the pool?
What
would be the hours of operation for the pool in the school year?
To the school programs
whoever,
or to these?
Whoever.
Right now, we're still trying to balance the daily schedule. Typically, they've done the physical education classes second 9 weeks and third 9 weeks, so the kids can be outside. Well, it's kind of hard to run some programs if I wanted to, if we ran them for like 9 weeks and then like, oh, now we're out for 9 weeks, and then we're back in for 9 weeks, and then we're out. So I think we're meeting with Libby to try to maybe perhaps balance it a little bit more. And then I'll see what programs I can fit in, whether it's morning or afternoon, or what that may be around the PE classes.
Yeah, bottom line is our curricular students, our PE classes, they have, they're priority.
I think that's the nature of my question with the background check. So say, for example, you wanted to do an adult lap swim in the early morning. The potential for students to be arriving and coming in to do whatever in the locker room before the school day begins and then interact with people who have come in to swim is pretty high.
It is kind of high, but there's also, it is like you can enter the pool and exit the pool completely blocked off from the school. So we can lock doors, and when you're walking in the main entrance, you'll go down a long hallway and you turn into the pool, and there's doors that go the other way to the school, but those are locked.
Okay.
So there are those, I forget what they're called, the push doors, so kids can get out if they need to, if there's an emergency, you can lock it off so that there's no, and I would make the programs, I would try to have them out of there by the time the kids, because one issue that will still be coming through is parking. So it'll be hard to run like a big program during the day or something if even if I had the time, just because of the limited parking, especially with construction right now. But it is, and it can be completely secured off from the school.
And the locker room, Rachel, is
mm-hmm.
separate. So
yeah.
The pool deck locker rooms, kids are not in, our kids are not in there. The swim teams have their own room inside the locker, but the public wouldn't be into our students' locker rooms.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
So be no crossover.
That was the design.
Yeah.
The design was to do as much as we can to separate community and school.
Okay.
Is there any money in lifeguard certification training?
I don't know if there's money in it, but a class would make my life a whole lot easier to find lifeguards.
Yeah.
I know I paid probably $400 for my daughter at Purdue.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what everybody was paying. And it's hard, it's a hard program to find.
It
it's
is
kind
a hard
of a
program
scary.
To find.
And I know we need more lifeguards, so.
I can look into it. I know, like, I think they're a couple hundred dollars now at Purdue, but I don't know how much of that money actually has to go back to
yeah,
the Red
that's
Cross.
What I was
so
wondering.
I can definitely find that out and let you guys know.
Okay.
Also, Bob has been reviewing all of the legal paperwork with regards to this, and so he's been on board helping make sure that we've got everything taken care of.
I do have one more question. What do we like more, Red Devil Aquatics or Aqua Devils?
Ooh.
I'm 50-50 on it. I can't make a decision.
Ooh. Ooh. I don't know if you would have anything about
No one feels anything. I prefer Red
Devil. Red Devil
Aquatics. Red Devil Aquatics, okay.
There you go.
There we go.
Between those two options.
Well, at least then it will be clear who you're signing up with.
This is true.
What we're recommending for you tonight is to give Chris approval to move forward with these concepts. I mean, there's still things that have to be worked out.
Gotcha.
And any major thing will come back, of course, to the administration, to Bob Riley, and of course to this board. But I think if you can just see the concepts, it at least gives her the authority to move forward with building these programs under the auspices of what we just talked about.
Okay. All right. We have some other items in this vote, but Chris, anything else from your perspective?
I don't think
thank
so.
You very much.
Thanks
okay.
for all your work.
Thank you for
thank
the
you.
Presentation. Very good. All right, facility improvement updates, Rocky, on your end.
We'll have Jovan come up. We're going to show you the renderings of the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center. We need to move forward with getting things to specs so that they can get that listed out for bids. And so Jovan will send that around. Jovan, let me know when you're ready for the 3D move. You want the 3D movie now or later?
Let me go through this real quick, and we can end it with the movie and ask questions.
I will follow your lead.
So this is the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center rendering what it would look like, and we'll show the movie a little more of that. And then inside you have two floor plans. We at the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center, we have a lower level, which is mainly practice rooms and a classroom for the music department. And then the upper level is a recording studio and two more practice rooms with an elevator to get sets up and down the facility with some more storage. And then, of course, reworking some of the restrooms and the entryway into the auditorium with a small hallway here with for the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center. Since he'll be named after him. And then we have the seating. So part of the auditorium is we're going to be replacing the seating, replacing the carpet, new finishes in the auditorium, new curtains, new lighting, new sound system. So it's like a major overhaul, but we're not really changing the shape of it. It's pretty much staying the way it is. And then the storage with the elevator for the sets will go to a basement. What used to be the old ice room will now become the storage room for the sets and stuff like that for the theater department. And so it's very skinny along one side. We didn't want to disrupt the traffic flow, keep the parking along the same side. So that's pretty much the two plans. Very simple, very straightforward. You got a mine mill stairs, so if you come in down there at the lower level, you can walk up to the upper level, and you'll see that here in the video. So,
want the video, or you want Alex to talk about timelines?
We can have Alex after that.
Okay.
Question about this too, when we get there.
Here we go. Hopefully this will work. I haven't tried it on my computer since I just got it, but let's see what happens. They are going to be working on the color scheme.
A lot of white in this. Yeah. We're still selecting colors and rendering the colors.
There's the big elevator.
Yep.
And this is the hallway to nowhere.
Yeah, it goes back to a classroom back here in the back, a practice room / classroom. As you can see, everything's white, so we're still working out colors, but this gives you an idea of the feel for the room. It'll be two whiteboards in there.
And this will be an antiphonal room, so you know, the brass on one side, the woodwinds on the other, and they can be answering.
Up the monumental stairs up to the upper level. So if you were coming for a performance and you came in those doors, then you would come up these stairs to the auditorium level.
Hey, Jovan.
Yeah.
The hanging art that's going to be seen here in a minute.
Yeah.
Make those musical notes.
Okay. Right now they're lights, but we could turn them.
Oh, they're lights?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Can we have light up?
Yeah.
Can we have notes and light up?
Then here's the Bob Kelly description, the trophy case, interactive display, and then you walk in back into the school, the commons area, and then as you can see, there's two doorways there, but they're not rendered out completely, but that's what we're still working on.
Walk through the wall.
Yeah. And then the new vestibule into the auditorium with new doors, and then you got to go to the auditorium, new seats, new paint on the walls, and new lighting, new sound system.
Rocky, how are the seat sales going?
We're getting there. I think we got about 25% sold. So far, so good.
Is there a handicap ramp somewhere in there?
He'll tell you.
Elevator?
The elevator, yeah. Yeah, we've got the elevator. We took out that whole ramp system along the side of the building, so we replaced it with the elevator to get up to that level.
So here's my question.
Sure.
You have four practice
practice rooms and the recording studio that are on the opposite side of the building from where the teachers are. So the band room is over there.
This is for our orchestra, and so it's Carol, and she, right now her kids practice literally on the stage and off to the stage right and stage left.
Right, they just have those two little ones. But so you're saying that band, I mean, by the orchestra room, there are two small practice rooms, and there might be there's a third one on the other side. But I mean, this to me, the layout of this is completely impractical for supervision of band students. So this is a limited use practice room.
Just so you know, the floor plan was created by the musical directors.
They participated.
They bought into that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they
really?
She was desperate for practice rooms, and okay. So Carol's more than happy to take what she could get, and then we talked about security, we talked about cameras, we talked about several other things to help mitigate some of that.
And that's one of the reasons we added the extra band practice room in the old pool area.
I look at this and think this is a lot of unsupervised teenagers with immediate access to the outside. And this troubles me from a security standpoint.
Well, I guess I would just throw in, I have a problem if they're unsupervised. And I don't assume they're going to be unsupervised.
Yeah, I mean, how you manage, I just look at this logistically and wonder how practical it is and safe it is. So, I mean, if Don Pettit, band, and orchestra, Carol, they've all agreed, like, this works for them, then that's great, but
they're the ones that designed it.
That surprises me. Based on what, I mean, that just surprises me.
Well, knowing musical people.
We're looking for more rehearsal space, and there were very, very few options. I think Jovan went over several really impractical ideas, not because he was trying to be, but he didn't have a lot of options.
He was looking to move anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I totally get that. Yeah.
They're really happy with this, and as I said, you know, in any space in the building, I don't want to have kids there without an adult. So that's an expectation. It's not going to be open space for kids to use.
That's the part I'm not understanding. So if you have an ensemble, and I'm sorry, I've been in the school during practice from you, so that's why I'm questioning this. If you have a class of 60 kids, or say 40 children in an orchestra, and you have four practice rooms, half of those kids are going to be in the main orchestra room on the other side of all of this. Leaving band completely out of it, there's no way to use those during the school day effectively. I don't understand how you could. If you have one orchestra teacher, they can't bi-locate.
Well, we have two.
At the same time, the same class?
We have two in our larger classes.
Okay.
At the same time with the big groups, we have both teachers, both for band and orchestra.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're going to use it as breakout spaces. And I think the spaces you're thinking of, I was trying to hear what you were saying, but I think those are very small compared to these. So they can take a larger number of kids with them and not have to be on the stage or wherever else they can find space. So I think they are happy with it.
Okay.
I don't know if Carol's happiest with that or finally, after all these years, being able to use the stagecraft, which has been loaded with things. Or
the sound
maybe,
system.
Yeah.
The sound system is.
Or the vestibule space, which has always been annoying, so they won't have to have it open very.
And does this renovation of the stage include a lighting and raise and lower lighting?
Yep, they're going to change rigging, sound shell, the lights will raise and lower so they can adjust, and new spotlights up on the catwalk as well, all to LED lighting.
Awesome.
Okay. And I've been selected to select the colors.
Yep.
Oh,
it's all yours.
Oh, man. Am I having fun with that one?
Yeah. Ooh, dangerous.
Other questions?
Thank you.
I want Alex to come up and give you a timeline of bid documents and bid opening.
Right. So right now, Javon and KJ Jean Schmidt are finishing up the construction documents. We hope to have them close to the end of the month. and we put them out for our first public advertisement at the end of October, the 24th, then the 31st, and we'll accept bids on November 22nd. And then with the, other than see that, we've got some major gas line removal and relocation, and water line removal relocation, that can't happen during the school year.
Right.
So we'll bid it now, get all the engineering done with the Vectren, who we're waiting on. We're hoping to get the gas lines moved over spring break. And then when summer, when school gets out and summer starts, that's when we'll mobilize on this project here. And then the timeline's probably 15 months, because we'll need two summer sessions to do the work for the auditorium after we tie everything in. We'll do that in the second summer session. So we'll start in 2020 and finish it in the end of summer of 2021.
How long do you think the auditorium will be out of commission in the school year?
I hope not to have it at all during the school year and just do the renovation over summer.
That's our plan.
And how long will the school be shut down in utility during the summer?
We've got 1 week that we're basically doing it. It's, and I kind of talked with Tim and Ron, and it's going to be, I think, the week of July 4th, I think, is the IHSAA, the dead week there.
Yeah.
So that is the week that we plan to switch over the services at that point. Okay.
Well, all good as well.
Yeah.
Other questions for Javon or Alex? Good work, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for all the time you put in.
Where's the statue?
We have several tied into this motion, and basically it's a motion to allow them to move forward. Need a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Dr. Springer. Okay, any additional questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Okay, so we're not.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
Thank you,
much.
Chris. You can stay or you're energized or not.
At this point. Academic achievement, town hall, and professional development review.
Just real quickly, heard a lot of good comments about Dr. McCormick and Dr. DeBoer's presentations, and even though we have maybe a smaller crowd than we anticipated, a lot of people came up to me at least and thanked us for having that conversation and allowing them to come here and have a town hall about public education and the issues going on. With regards to Dr. Guskey, it seemed to be very well received. There are some questions, some thoughts about implementation of those kinds of things, but I think overall the conversation about what is the purpose of having a report card and reporting academic achievement is a conversation we're going to have internally with our staff, as well as what are some of the great things that he brought to us that we might implement within the report card. And so those are discussions that I'm leaving at the building level. I made it very clear this is not a mandate from central office, but I want each building, such as what's going on at the elementary school with the kindergarten report cards, the discussions about what might be implemented from those discussions that we had or that we heard from Dr. Guskey. So I was very proud that we were able to have our first full day of staff development in probably 7 or 8 years.
Okay, any other questions on that with respect to that? Okay, Rocky, move on to academic achievement and the IDAE accountability and ADM update.
Yes, we're still waiting to hear from legislators and the Department of Education whether iLearn is going to be a held harmless procedure this year. And what that basically means is if your iLearn scores raised your school corporation grade, then your school corporation grade would go up. If your iLearn scores impacted your school corporation grade and took it down, there's discussion that that would not occur, but we won't know until I think after legislation or the legislature starts meeting and starts having those discussions. Some concerns out there with regards to what happens next, because if you haven't heard AIR, is the company that did iLearn. They sold their assessments. They sold off the assessment piece of their company. So now a new company has iLearn. And what that's going to look like next year, I don't know. So some very serious concerns about that. As you heard from Dr. McCormick, those of you that were here, probably the biggest issue is starting 2021. There's one office in the state that controls public education totally, and that's the governor's office. So whoever's running the governor's office has total control of every piece of public education. So there's some concerns about that, and we're watching closely of how that's going to develop. ADM update, we are up 1.5 students. One of the things that's happened over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we had some move-ins from at assisted living and some special education, I think about 21. So if that hadn't happened, we would have been probably in the 15 to 20 range. But fortunately, we're not that far down, but we're stagnant as far as enrollment goes this year, so 1.5. Unfortunately, we've already lost 5 or 6 students since the count, but they still are on our count because it was after the 13th date. So I can already count on February possibly having fewer students in our ADM count, because this year we'll go back to 2 counts, one in September, one in February. And if you're up in February, you get more money. If you're down, you get less money. So right now we are 6. We're right now 6 fewer than we were as of September 13th. But because of how this works, they are still counted on our count because they left us after the September 13th count. So kind of an interesting target.
All right, any questions or comments there? Okay, move on now to the West Lafayette Schools Education Foundation update, and Rocky and Doug and whoever else.
Doug, come on up.
Great.
Yeah.
Doug's got all the powerful news.
I'm not here for anything specific, just give me a general update. I think it's been a lot. And all of you kind of know what we're about, but just for the record, Foundation's a 501c3 designed to support the mission of the schools. Ideally, tax dollars would take care of that, but it's not always the case. We're trying to take our fate into our own hands a little bit. In terms of the board membership, it's been pretty stable over the years. We do have John Bauman as a new addition. And Cassie Hillebo and Mike Pedley have stepped down, but otherwise that's largely the same. We have new plans for West Side Story. That remains our big fundraiser for general operations. That's going to be April 24th. This one's going to be at Carnahan Hall, so that's a little different. We're not at the country club anymore. Get a little new energy, see if we can shake things up a little bit. There was a tailgate party at homecoming. Attendance was a little down. We thought it had to do with the later start for Rensselaer games since they're on Central Time. Lindsay Walls continues to do the heavy lifting as our executive director. She is just returned from a planned giving seminar in New Orleans. I think I have this right. I think she said something like 700 organizations were represented, and she was the only public school member. So academies, private schools, that sort of thing are way ahead of us in trying to cultivate giving from the community. So hopefully that'll result in some more funds. We are currently interviewing for someone to fill the development assistant position. And I think that started today. I couldn't be in on the first interview, but hopefully that's going well. The teacher grant cycle has opened, and the deadline for that's November 1st. Hopefully all the teachers know about it, and if they have any ideas, are submitting grant applications. I think there's $7,000 available, so excited to see what those bring. We're gonna try and give the website a facelift. Well-known designs has agreed to help us out for a reasonable cost. Nothing. The It's good to know people. I am told that we've raised about $2.5 million for the RDP capital campaign project. Goal's $4 million, so we'll keep grinding away at that. The backpack program continues. Grant funds, donations, and volunteer coordinators. I think the numbers for that are down a little bit. I'm not sure the need has really changed. So we're going to try and figure out why, what the disconnect might be, just to make sure everybody who has a need that we're helping as many people as we can. We're managing investments for about 20 scholarships, and we're continuing to conduct alumni outreach through biannual newsletters and participating in alumni tours. That's kind of what we're up to.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you
for all you're doing.
All the high-paying job that you have for doing that. Thanks, Doug. Revised kindergarten report card, and we'll move on to item five and Dr. Killian.
Dr. Taggart and her team have been working on revisions of the kindergarten report card. They're at your place for consideration. Dr. Taggart's here if you have any questions or comments.
Okay, let's get them. You want to get a motion first, and then we'll go on to questions, okay?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion, please, or questions?
My question really is this, do you expect this to be a change in the amount of time it takes the teacher to complete, or is it a significant workload change?
It's not a significant workload change. They were just working to better represent what the students know. They felt like some of the language was a little off, and so, and some of the benchmarks didn't meet exactly where they wanted them to meet per quarter, but as you have all seen in kindergarten report cards, they're about the biggest labor of love that you will ever see. And so the team really worked hard to make sure that it is everything that they want it to be. So they understand the workload that goes with it, but feel very passionate about what they put together. So.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions or comments?
I'm glad I'm not in kindergarten.
As a student or a teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Okay, all in favor of the motion to accept the report card as is, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. So Amber, have at it to this. Parent Council Playground Donation, Dr. Clay.
Very happy that our Parent Council at the elementary school is helping us purchase playground equipment, and we're asking the board's approval of that gift to the school.
Okay. Need a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Prochnow, second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion. Just thank you for that. And all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. I don't know why we'd have anybody be opposed to that. Out of state field trips, high school social studies department to DC on the 6th and through the 9th, and the high school German classes to their annual visit December 3rd to Chicago. We need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that will allow those to go on. Personnel report, Dr. Killian.
Recommend your approval of all the names listed in the personnel report.
Okay.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion or questions, anything in there? We saw that in advance, but all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable, Mr. Sloat.
Again, accounts payable got a little bit over $3.8 million. That includes our construction projects, claims, and payroll. A couple items, that payment to TST for $52,000. We have an agreement with them. It's actually $74,000 a year. We've already paid some of that agreement. to allow, if we have to store buses there, and they work on our buses, since, you know, we got away from the city bus, we have that arrangement. And that went up higher because we got 6 buses from Glass. So that amount is higher. You approved that agreement, I think, a couple months ago. So that's payment for that. And if you see a lot of bus repairs, seems like we have a lot. And I asked Doug Caldwell about that, because one reason is the Glass buses that we got, there was a lot of issues that we had to get them up to speed just to make sure they got passed by the state police and repaired. And the TSC does an excellent job on their repairs. I mean, they're on everything, you know, the seat is tore or anything, rust and things like that. I mean, we're real pleased with, it's costing us, but, you know, they're doing a good job. So I'm happy with that. RepTrak, you seen that fee is around $10,000. We had, when we, in the fall, we take credit card payments for book rental. So we had around $300,000 charged through credit cards. We pay a 3% fee, roughly. So that's what that fee is to RepTrak. And then you also seen workers' comp. We paid 2/4 to accident fund for our workers' comp payments. A couple comments on the bonds on the back. You know, we're paying out of 3 bonds now. The 19 bond is what's is for the James Guy Education Wing. So we had payments on there. And I think I reported maybe last meeting, we are making our last payment on the Willis project. It doesn't show here. I think we paid it after September. It's $38,000, but we got $546,000 was left over in contingency that we did not owe in the contract. So that's good news.
We need good news.
Cumberland's not quite the same. They're eating up a lot of their contingency money, so we may not have that much back. So Amber, she can work on that a little bit over there. So, and we haven't made any payments yet out of 19 we paid some to Kettle Hut, but not very many big payments have come due yet on the education link. So recommend approval of the claims.
Motion, please. Moved by Mr. Bittner, seconded by Mrs. Prochnow. All in favor, discussion, please. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We'll move on to information of the board. I have nothing additional, but board and superintendent reports. We'll go around the horn, start with Mr. Marley.
Negotiations is going very well. Is it Wednesday?
Yes. Wednesday. Negotiations.
And then insurance committee is meeting tomorrow afternoon as well.
Great. So.
Okay. A lot going on right now.
Tom, anything in here?
Nothing.
Melissa, you?
All right, so Doug covered the foundation. The high school, the community council met 9/16, and they've done a good job. They're under construction. That was pretty much what they discussed for the most part, and some of the updates that we've already covered. The parent council has about $5,000 in teacher grants that they're going to award at the high school, and they've already approved the first one, which is funding for a parent suicide prevention training booklet, QPR. And each of the 3 parent councils are working with the counseling staff to host evening sessions for parents. And Cumberland's is on October 22nd from 5:30 to 7. Let's see. The intermediate school has $3,000 for teacher grants, and they've already started a Gaga pit, which is already functional. Cumberland is going to, we just approved a donation for their playground. They have $7,000 in teacher grants at Cumberland, and they've also rolled out a program for fundraising that started their fall fundraiser today. And they've tied an increase in teacher grants to that, as well as some funding for the nature center, possibly. Several things, so we'll see how that goes. Public Schools Foundation, the grants for them are under review. The reception will be held on November 20th at the Greater Lafayette Career Academy. They had a record turnout for the cupcake run with 1,196 participants and volunteers. The 5K winner for the women's overall was Melissa Yost, who is a teacher at the high school. They also had the cupcake bake-off, which our students participated on September 25th at Ivy Tech, and our students won a $100 gift certificate for the most friendly, smiling, enthusiastic team.
All right.
Thank you, Melissa. Anything else here? Thank you.
Good.
Rachel?
Teacher discussion, reimagining has gone well, I think, it was nice to hear from Dr. Gresky in the afternoon session of that, and Rocky will do teacher discussion.
I attend a redevelopment commission meeting, nothing really to report, other than I saw the surveyors out, they're gonna put a bike path, it's gonna run all the way down Caliber Road, all the way down to University, walking bike path. They're gonna widen the sidewalk that's going down Salisbury, they're gonna make it a bigger path. You know, just see some construction going on at some point.
With the new,
Aquatic Center.
Aquatic Center and the facility as well. Dr. Springer, Karen, anything?
Nothing from Park Board, last meeting is tomorrow, Rocky will report on board teacher discussion, and I ditto for the reimagining committee, it's a good process so far, we'll continue to be.
Thank you. Rocky?
Discussed what the last teacher discussion, field trip guidelines and communication and timeframes for field trips, teacher evaluation process, we revised the walkthrough forms, talked about visitors in the schools and asking staff to notify the office when they're planning to have a visitor come in so that the office staff is aware in advance. We talked about NWE assessments and an ongoing review about NWEA and when those assessments would occur. We talked about the special education decentralization and that process and an ADM update.
Okay. The only thing I have been with negotiations with Brad, also with the public schools, West Lafayette Schools Education Foundation, working on a number of fundraising initiatives, trying to get that number up to from 2.5 to 4 million. That was been very fortunate to have the support we've had to date, and we're hoping to continue to at least from a board perspective, that's important funding for those projects. Communication from the audience, non-agenda items. Randy, are you still wanting to chat?
No.
It's all you.
I stand before you, I'm the ISTA District 10 Council Chair, and I'd just like to invite you all on Organization Day, November 19th, to come to the State House. We're doing a Red for Ed event. We're trying to make sure that the State House is aware that we still have issues. And the three main issues we want to look for is, number one, we want to make sure that we are all held fully harmless, so that those schools who are not already at 2 years or 3 years on that track to being in trouble are also held harmless like everyone else. We want to make sure that our average salary in the state of Indiana is $60,000. It's right now $53,000. And that we're the lowest in the entire area, the whole Midwest. And we also want to make sure that that 15-hour externship that was thrown on us at the last minute last year is also repealed. So, you know, we have some goals. We'd like to get 1,000 people there. We're asking to get 50 people from every district. There are 22 districts in the state of Indiana, so District 10 has been asked to put 50 people forward. I know LEA is going to bring some people, TEA, a lot of the other corporations in our area are going to bringing people. So if any of you like to go down with us on that day, wear red, and either line the path as they come in. I had an event this summer with Herb, one of Rocky's favorite groups of people. And the funny thing was, all we were planning on doing is we just wanted to get teachers there. We wanted to get educators to come and go to Herb because it's interesting to see what they have to say. They had a lot of interesting things going on. Well, we had about 60 teachers show up, all dressed in red shirts, you know, we're standing along the sidewalks, and they went inside. One of our ISTA guys is dressed in a coat and tie, whatever, he goes inside, and they were like calling the police. They were worried, they were concerned. I'm like, we're a bunch of teachers, we're not gonna riot, what are you expecting? So we got inside, the place was packed, standing room only. I think they got nervous until they realized we were just there to listen. And that was our point, was to make sure you were seeing us. So I think the problem is they're not seeing us. And so I would like to encourage the board, community members, parents to also join us, because we can't do this just with teachers. And we know how difficult, and I know Rocky and probably our administrators know how difficult it is to recruit good quality people.
it just, it's very difficult to have people. Purdue only graduated, I think they said four, no, it was ISU that only graduated four new math people last year from the state of Indiana. Purdue was something like that, I think six in the last couple of semesters. It's tough when those people are not enough to fill all the jobs. So we just can't do it if we don't have enough money. And you well know that, you guys are tasked with that job. So if you can help us out, pass the word. We're gonna be getting some more information out about that as well, but that'll be November 19th. And I got more details, so come talk to me.
The time of day, I mean, what?
Well, the events are gonna start around 9 a.m.
Okay.
But they'll go through probably 9 to 2 during the day. The legislature generally does, and I'm sure Bob can probably tell you this better than anybody. They come in, so they saunter in, I should say, 10 or 11, they get together, they elect their officers, they announce who's gonna be the chairs of a committee, they have a nice lunch together, and they go, that's it, that's organization day. Really, organization day this year needs to be the whole harmless bill. They can suspend the rules and pass that on the first day. If they really wanna show they're serious, they'll do that. I'd like to see people show up so that we can maybe put that pressure on them. Yeah. So
Randy's absolutely right. It just can't be teachers. It has to be every community rising up and pushing back. If we don't, this is going to get a lot worse. So I echo what Randy's saying. The more help that we can provide as a community, the better chance we have of turning this.
Well, we'll work to have more representation down there.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Randy, very much. Anything else from the audience? Okay, future meetings, Monday, October the 11th and the 14th will be fall break. Is that right?
Friday,
and the 14th, okay.
Friday the
11th. Friday the 11th and Monday the 14th, I'm sorry. And that would make sense. That'd be this Friday. November 5th will be a next regular board meeting at 5 p.m.
It's not November, it's November 4th. That's a mistake, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Monday, November 4th, I guess I could read the calendar. And then, and that will be a regular board meeting at 5 p.m. because the ISBA fall meeting is that evening, so we will go to that after the board meeting for their fall meeting. Need a motion for adjournment, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Mrs. Prock. Now all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And we will adjourn to executive session, and thank you all for coming.
Get some coffee.